hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
This is a surreal moment for me. CCC is where things seem to begin for me. I met Jesus because of CCC. I was water baptized because of CCC. I met a girl who's now my wife because of CCC. Yes! I was mentored. I was started serving, learned what serving in the ministry is like here at CCC. And it was back in about 2008, I was sitting right back here, and I was watching somebody, I don't remember who, preach a message. And it was right after I felt like God had called me into full-time ministry, and I said to the Lord, it would be so cool to preach here at CCC. But that will never happen. Be careful what you say to the Lord, and what you say will never happen. Be careful, because he might just have it come to be. And I'm so thankful that I get to share the word today. It is an absolute honor and privilege, and I thank Pastor Keith, who will be listening in on podcast, and I am just so thankful for our lead pastor. Aren't you? Aren't you so thankful for Pastor Keith? Man, it is a privilege to follow him and to serve with him on staff, and I'm passionate about this community. I'm passionate about this city, and my wife and I are passionate about this church. The best days of CCC are still ahead. The best days are still ahead, and that's all because of Jesus. The goodness and the best things of Jesus never run out. The love of Jesus never runs out. His goodness never runs out. There's always more. There's always more if we dive in, if we dig in. So are you ready to dig in this morning with me into the Word of the Lord? Turn in your Bibles, whether you have tree version or e-version. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I've got both up here, e-version, tree version. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at a passage that's really familiar probably to you. And it's a passage of Jesus walking on the water. And while you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background. Jesus just got done feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Crazy. Awesome miracle. He puts the disciples in a boat, and he intends to send them across the Sea of Galilee to the other side while he finishes up some stuff. Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray while the disciples are rowing their boat in the middle of a storm. And so we'll pick it up in Matthew 14, verse 25. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that you are here in our midst, and God, that you are able to speak to us through your word. God, I pray that you would challenge us, that you would mold us and shape us, Lord, so that when we leave here today, we are changed for the better. Better to serve your kingdom, better to follow you. Lord, may my words be your words this morning. Teach us something, challenge us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. You know, in life, there's a lot of things that we can be afraid of. You know, there's snakes. There's spiders. I think the only thing worse than a spider is a bigger spider. And I think the only thing worse than a bigger spider is a multitude of spiders. And in my fear-driven dreams, they're chasing me. And they're all sorts of different sizes. And then on top of that, another thing you can be afraid of is monsters. But there's a whole list of other things that we tend to be afraid of. There's the fear of flying. Some people are afraid of small spaces. Some people are afraid of the dark. Others fear of drowning. And the list goes on and on. And I think one of the most beautifully terrifying things from my childhood was when my stepdad would take me and my siblings tubing on our lake. Now, don't get me wrong. I love tubing on the lake. Let me rephrase that. I love normal people tubing. What my stepdad used to do with my brothers and my sister and me was not normal. It was absolutely terrifying. And I think he would not call it tubing. He would call it ultimate challenge to launch the children into the lake. I'm not joking. This is how intense tubing with my stepdad was. He took my grandma out tubing. She literally peed herself while she was tubing. There is video footage. I'm not going to show it today. But there is video footage. And so what we would do, we had a lake house on Clifford Lake in Stanton, Michigan. Clifford Lake is shaped almost like a dog bone. It's got two big open areas and then like a, I mean, it's not like a channel, but it's a little narrower in the middle. And so what he would do is, you know, we'd get our life jackets on and we'd make sure we're all safe, and we'd get out on the tube, and he would just start going. He'd be going kind of fast, and you'd just, yeah, this is nice, trees, and I think that was a bass right there. That's cool. You'd be just chilling. Then he would take you around the big opening, and you would get outside the wake, and you'd pick up speed, and you're like, okay, I got to hold on a little bit tighter. This is a little bit scary, but I think I'm all right. Then what he would do is he would slow down, and then he would start to turn as tight as the boat would go. And he would go around and around and around. And even though the boat is going pretty slow, you're out way out on the side, gripped like this, like, ah! And so he'd go around and around and around in this really tight circle. And then you would veer off away from it. And then you'd be in the middle of the wake again. All right, this is cool. And then he would turn the boat around. And as he turned the boat around, you'd see from the side of the boat this swell of violent waves that he's created by going around in a circle. And so basically the goal was to aim the tube into this swell of super large waves. And if you hit it just right, it would be like dropping off a cliff, going down, and then ramping up this huge wave. And the only thing that I could remember is just plummeting down to the water, my whole life flashing before my eyes. And when I regained consciousness, my stepdad would pull the boat up, just a look of just satisfaction on his face. I'd climb back into the boat, and he'd be like, "You want to go again?" "I'm good, thanks. I think I have a concussion." And he's like, "Well, here, hand me your life jacket." And I'm like, "No, I think I'll just keep it on for the rest of the day. Actually, if we're grilling burgers, I'm going to keep it on. I'm keeping it on. In fact, just talking about it, I feel much better having this on right now. I'm not going to strap it on just because, but..." That's right, I'm going to preach in this. But isn't that how life is sometimes? Isn't that how life is? You get situated in your tube and you're like, "This isn't so bad. Life is great. This is wonderful." And all of a sudden, you start to get outside the wake and you're moving a little bit faster and you're like, "Okay, this isn't very much fun anymore. I'm getting a little scared." And then all of a sudden, you see up ahead, there's this treacherous water, and unexpectedly, you're falling off a cliff, being launched in the air, crying out in fear. "No!" That's how life is sometimes. When we come up for air, we feel like we're drowning. We feel like we've hit the water. We come up and we feel like we're okay, but we still don't feel as comfortable taking off our life jacket. We don't feel as comfortable taking off our flotation device because we're not quite trusting what might come next. We're not sure what is about to happen around the corner. We get comfortable in these life jackets too. This is pretty comfortable. It's a little warm up here, but it's comfortable. And we get used to the fact that they keep us safe while simultaneously holding us back just enough from stepping into our full potential and walking in full freedom. And we see this in Matthew chapter 14 with the disciples. They just got done watching an amazing miracle where Jesus feeds a ton of people, thousands of people, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're riding in the wake. They're like, this is awesome. And then unexpectedly, Jesus sends them into a boat, and he's like, take care, guys. I'll meet you on the other side. And they roll right into a storm. This morning, I want to highlight some key truths, some key things about overcoming this fear that sometimes grips us. And also, there's some key characteristics of Jesus that I think we need to pay attention to in this passage. Let's pick it up. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, I look at this with a kind of a puzzled perspective. I look at it from this perspective of, wait a second, doesn't God want what's best for us? Doesn't he want the very best and good gifts for his children? And all of that is definitely true. I've heard it over and over. I've read it in Scripture. God wants the best for us. His plans are not to harm us. But here we see Jesus send the disciples straight into a storm that he knows is coming. He knows the storm is coming. He's fully aware of it. So why would Jesus send the disciples into a storm? If he wants the very best for us, why is he sending the disciples straight into something that would go against them? And I really don't know the answer to that question. But I can take a couple of guesses. And I think there's two things that God is trying to show us about this passage. The first, I don't think we have a whole lot of lessons to be learned if the disciples are sent out into this easygoing row. Like, man, that was the best row we've ever had out on the Sea of Galilee. I don't fully think that we would have that good of a lesson. I think we see the best growth when we are under pressure. Now, I know you're going to be really surprised at this. I know you're going to be surprised. But I currently don't lift weights. I know, this is all natural. All natural. But my muscles, my physique, they do their best growing, and their best growth happens when I put them under pressure, when I lift weights. I think a lot of times in life, we have to trust God when we are under pressure and allow him to work in our situations and our circumstances when we feel like we're in the midst of a storm. Amen. And the second thing I think that we're trying to see is this. Just because the going gets tough doesn't mean that God's not in it. In fact, I'd venture out to say that if you're walking through something very tough this morning, you can guarantee that God is in it. You can guarantee that God is in it. You can count on the fact that he's right there. We see it in verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. So there's this storm happening. The disciples are struggling. They're wet. They're tired. They're scared. And Jesus goes out to them. He was there in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their fear. Jesus was there. They didn't have to look very far or very hard to see that Jesus was there. Never mind the fact that they thought he was a ghost at first. point I'm trying to pull out is that no matter what you're going through, whether you know for sure that God is there, or whether you can't really see him, you think that might be him, but you can't really tell, or you're like, I've never seen God in the storm that I'm walking through. Know this, he is there with you this morning. He's there with you in the storms. He's walking miraculously in power and in glory in the middle of your storm, no matter what you're walking through. Your wife is, and you are struggling, your kids and your relationship is strained. You're at work and your boss doesn't really like you. You're having money problems. No matter what it is, Jesus is walking miraculously in power and in glory in the midst of your storms. He's walking in the midst of your storms. I can just picture the disciples out there on the boat, gripping it with fear, ducking behind the edge. Did you guys see that? I think that's a ghost. They're gripping the side of their flotation device, their floaty. They're gripping it, and they're like, I don't know what's going on. It's a ghost. They're screaming, much like that. Get this. The disciples' inability to recognize Jesus in the storm didn't change the fact that Jesus was present in the storm. Jesus never corrects them on their inability to recognize him, by the way. Jesus never corrects them on the fact that they're full of fear. He never corrects them as they hold on to their floaty in terror. He does tell them, hey, guys, I'm here. I know you didn't recognize me at first, but it's me, it's Jesus. I know you're in the storm, but you don't have to hold on to your floaty in fear anymore. You don't have to. It's me, guys. It's Jesus. It's okay to cry out to God in fear, but it's not okay to stay that way. It's not okay to let fear dictate how you live your life. It's not okay to live life with hands gripped with floaties, fear and doubt. You're just constantly putting on all of these extra floaties, all these extra life preservers, because you're just not fully trustworthy of what's around the corner in life. And so all of a sudden you find yourself just jammed full of these floaties that you're holding on to. And sometimes as believers, we walk around with these floaties that they weigh us down, they hold us back from experiencing all that God has for us. We experience doubt, fear, worry, uncertainty, and so we just begin putting on these floaties. Whew, that's better. But I think we can learn something from Peter in verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Now, as I was studying for this message, in the original language, Lord, if it's you, is actually better translated, Lord, since it's you. Lord, since it's you, tell me to come to you and let me walk on the water. I love Peter's attitude here. I love his attitude. Basically, what he's saying is, Lord, I see what you're doing. I see you out there. You walking confidently in this storm. I want to do that. I was afraid just a second ago, but I see you, Jesus. You're not afraid at all. Let me walk out on the water with you. I want to do what you're doing. Invite me out. Don't underestimate the importance of human initiative. Don't underestimate it. Peter doesn't so much walk on the water. Humans can't do that. Humans can't walk on the water. But what humans can do is we can walk on a word. Amen. We can walk on a word from the word. Amen. Jesus is the word. And so Peter is walking out on a word to the word because of the word. We can walk on a word. Imagine how your life would change if instead of praying in the middle of your storms, God, where are you? What are you doing? Save me. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. What if we began praying for a word? Lord, what is it that you're trying to say to me in this storm? I don't like it. You know I don't like it. But what is it that you have for me in this storm. Help me to be more like you, Jesus. Help me to step out on the water and walk in faith boldly like you, Jesus. So here's Peter, he's walking on the water. The rest of the disciples, they're probably still in the boat. Well, they are still in the boat, but they're probably gripping it with fear. Some of them might be like secretly, like a little bit cheering Peter on. Go, Peter! Other ones might be like, $5 as he falls after 7 steps. What are bucks? I don't know. But I bet you 5 something that he's going to fall. So then verse 30 happens. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Oh, Peter, what a failure. What a loser. Told you he'd fall. You owe me $5. I told you that he wouldn't amount to anything. He should have played it safe like we did. He should have stayed in the boat like we did. We don't look like idiots. He's the one out there flailing around in the water. I used to think that this passage was all about that. Was all about Peter, who had little faith. Was all about Peter, the fact that he failed. Was all about the disciples who were in the boat. But what I've come to realize is that this passage is so much more about Jesus than anybody else. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus. He's afraid. He sinks. He failed. And in his failure, he cries out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was standing there as Peter was walking towards him and Peter started to fall. Lord, save me. No. You need to think about what you did. No, you're a failure. Some of us grew up this way. Thinking that that's how God talks to us. That's how Jesus feels about us. No. You didn't make it. You're a failure. You need to think about what you did. You need to be more like those guys playing it safe. What were you thinking? No, it says that Jesus at once, without hesitation, immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls Peter up. Jesus acts immediately when we cry out for salvation. He acts immediately. It doesn't matter how soaked you are in failure. It doesn't matter how sopping wet you are in sin. It doesn't matter how, this is falling off. It doesn't matter how you feel like you're drowning in disappointment. Jesus acts immediately to pull you up. Jesus is strong enough to lift you up. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Aren't you so glad that we have this kind of Jesus who doesn't hesitate, who lifts us up? He's strong enough to lift us up. He doesn't discriminate. He lifts you up out of your mess, and he's willing to do it for anybody who calls on his name. Aren't you so thankful for Jesus this morning? Amen. But just because Jesus pulls us up from our mess and our failures doesn't mean that Jesus is willing for us to stay that way. Jesus doesn't want us to stay that way. Jesus challenges us to grow. Shameless plug. Jesus challenges us to grow. But I just picture, you're welcome, Pastor Pat. But I just picture Jesus bending down, lifting up this soaked Peter, soaked in failure, soaked in fear. What is Jesus going to say? And he lifts him up and he pulls him really close and whispers in Peter's ear, hey, you have little faith. Now, I used to think that this was an insult. Jesus was insulting Peter, you have little faith. But a chapter earlier, Jesus was in his hometown, and it says that he could not do any miracles because of their lack of faith. Not because of their little faith, but because they lacked faith. A few chapters later, after this passage, we see Jesus talking to the disciples, and he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can what? You can move mountains. You can say, mountain, move from here to there, with just a little bit of faith. And so what we can glean from this passage is that Jesus is not insulting him. It's an insult if you lack faith. Peter has little faith, but what Jesus isn't talking about is the amount of faith. Jesus isn't talking about the quantity of faith that Peter has. He's talking about the quality of faith. So Jesus says, hey, you of little faith, you who lacked confidence in me, why did you doubt? And this is meant to be kind of a rhetorical question. Peter's not supposed to answer to Jesus, because Jesus already knows. Peter probably already knows that Jesus already knows. It's meant to be an internal reflection on Peter's part. And the more I dug into this, why did you doubt? The more I dug in, the more clear it became that it's actually better phrased, at which point did you begin to doubt? At what point when you were walking out on the water did you begin to doubt? Because you made it all the way out here. I don't believe Jesus was super close to the boat. I think Peter had to walk a little bit. And so Jesus is trying to get Peter to internalize this. He's trying to get Peter to think about it, and Peter instantly connects. The instant replay begins to roll in his head. Yeah, it's when I took my eyes off you. Yeah, it's when I stopped looking at you and started to look at everything else that's going on around me. It's when I took my eyes off you and thought that I could do this whole job promotion on my own. It's when I took my eyes off you and thought that I had this parenting thing down. It's when I took my eyes off you and thought that our marriage was fine. It's when I thought that my finances were in good stead. It's when I took my eyes off you, Jesus. And strangely enough, it's actually when I realized I didn't have a plan B. I ditched the floaty and I was walking and I didn't have any floaties to fall back on. And I realized that and I took my eyes off you. I started to look at my circumstances. That's the point when my faith lost confidence in you. And so Jesus and Peter, they walk back to the boat. And there's the other 11, which is actually pretty cool because I pictured Jesus and Peter walking back to the boat together. And there's the other 11 sitting in the boat. They're probably still gripping the boat with fear because now they're like, what is Jesus going to say? What's going to happen? But then I would have thought that Jesus would have gone back to the boat and scolded the other 11. Scolded them, said, how come you guys are back here? I would have at least thought Jesus would have gone back to the boat and said, hey, I'm going to help you save face, Peter. I'll tell him really what's up. But we see this transformation happen. Jesus completely transforms situations. We see it in verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The storm stopped. When you read it in the original language, it means the sea was just like glass. It went from treacherous waves like my stepdad would create, and it just went to complete glass, instantly calm. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's why this passage is so much more about Jesus than anyone else. Because even when you're soaked in failure, even when you're struggling to let go of doubt and worry, no matter if you took a risk and failed like the brave disciple, or you stayed in the boat and chickened out like the other 11, Jesus loves you. Unconditionally, he loves you. He's just as present in your storms and in your failures as he is present in your sunshine and your successes. Jesus steps into your storm, into your doubt, into your fear, into your uncertainty, into your family issues, into your office at work, into your finances, your parenting, and he completely transforms those areas. When he's allowed to step in to your storm, to your circumstances, to your situations, when you invite him in, he immediately transforms completely the situation. He gives hope. He gives purpose. He gives good things. The questions you have to ask yourself this morning are, why sometimes do you doubt? And are you willing to hand your floaties over to Jesus? Are you willing this morning to give Jesus those things that are holding you back from walking in complete faith? Because Jesus is strong enough. He challenges us because he wants us to grow, because he transforms our situations and answers our cries. Immediately, we can let go of our floaties. Jesus steps into a storm and it ceases to be a storm. He steps into boats full of fear. The disciples, they were in the boat full of fear. And Jesus steps into the boat and all of a sudden it becomes full of faith. They begin worshiping him. Fear is erased in the presence of Jesus. That's why we can say this morning, Jesus, I'm looking at you. I'm stepping out. I'm ditching my floaties because I know who you are, Jesus. Yeah, sure, my footing isn't solid. There's some waves going on. Yeah, I'm still a little bit unsure, but I'm sure of who you are, Jesus. And I'm walking towards you this morning because you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are Savior. You are Redeemer. And I got this because you've got this. You've invited me out. You've asked me to be a part of what you're doing. And so I can confidently walk in faith. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what the storms of life look like, I'm walking towards you, Jesus, because I know who you are. I know who Jesus has said that he is. I know it. I can ditch my floaties because of Jesus. I can step into full purpose. I can step into a life of freedom because of what? Because of Jesus. And boldness is this behavior that is born out of belief. This belief that Jesus is who he says he is. And you have to overcome the fact that all fear, just realize this for a second, all fear, doubt, worry, uncertainty, all that is a lie. Masquerading as truth about God and his character and the way that he feels about you. It's a lie. It's not even real. But we can walk out in boldness and in faith. So you have to decide, are you going to stay in the boat, gripped with fear, or are you going to ditch the floaties and step out in faith? I want you to know Jesus will still love you either way you decide. He will still love you. But one choice really leads to a different kind of life. It leads to a life full of freedom and purpose. But here's the catch. You have to step out to find out. What's interesting is Peter initiated this whole entire thing. When you go back, Jesus never asked Peter to get out of the boat. Jesus let Peter decide what he was going to do and how he was going to live and how his life was going to be defined. Are you going to stay in the boat or are you going to step out and find out just how incredible the journey is following Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to give opportunity to people. Pastor Pat mentioned it earlier. Maybe you're sitting there and you're like, man, this whole service, I haven't really felt like a child of God. I don't have that kind of confidence because I don't have Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. Today is your day. You can step out and find out just how amazing of a Savior Jesus is. So if that's you, I just ask that you raise your hand all over this room if you want to invite Jesus into your life for the very first time, or maybe you did it a long time ago and you're like, man, I haven't walked like that in faith in years and I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. If that's you, would you raise your hand all over this auditorium right now? Yep, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Some people raised their hands, so I'm going to ask that you repeat this prayer after me. Everybody, repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I want to step out in faith today because you completely transform situations, circumstances, and lives. Jesus, I invite you in to my life right now. I know I'm not perfect, but you are. Be Lord of my life. Lead me out in faith. Lead my life. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give it up for the best decision that these people have ever made? Jesus completely transforms situations. And before we're done, I want to say that if you raise your hand right outside these doors when we dismiss in a few minutes, there's a Next Steps table and we have a gift waiting for you just to help you take that next step. You have to step out and find out what that gift is out those doors, but I promise you that it'll be worth it. Before we leave, we as believers, as followers of Christ, we have a job to do, and that's to reflect and respond to how Jesus is challenging us and how he's shaping us and molding us. And so at the end of your pew, there is a pile of floaties and a pile of pens. And so if you're next to those floaties, I want you to grab those and pass one down to each person. Pass a pen down to each person. Everybody can have one. And what I want us to do is I want us to talk to God. I want you guys to begin asking him to help reveal in you where your faith might be weak. Ask him to help you see the things that cause you to doubt or become fearful or begin to worry. Ask him what your floaties are. Just ask him, Lord, what are my floaties? What's holding me back from really stepping out fully in faith and into my purpose? Write them down on the back of the floaty or wherever you want on that card. And then after you've talked with the Lord, after you've kind of asked him what your floaties are and you've written them down, I want you to stand up, come up here, and I want you to ditch your floaties. I want you to come up to this boat, rip up your floaties, toss them in the boat, and walk away in faith. Walk away declaring that I'm walking away, I'm ditching my floaties, and I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in faith. There'll be some questions up on the screen, so spend a couple minutes chatting with God. And when you're ready, just stand up, walk up here, rip up your floaties, toss them in the boat, and walk away. The worship team is going to be playing, and we're going to worship and declare that we are no longer slaves to fear, but that we are children of God, walking in faith. So begin talking to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I loved seeing some people, they had literally ripped it up into shreds. Tossed it. One guy shot a Steph Curry 3 from over here, nailed it right into the boat. This doesn't mean that you're going to walk out of here and you'll never experience fear or doubt or worry again. It doesn't mean that. The enemy is still prowling around like a lion, and he's seen what you declared today, that you're stepping out and you're going to walk in faith. You tossing this in just means, Lord, I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to let you do the rest. I'm going to step out. I'm going to find out. I'm going to trust fully in you. I still might be uncertain, but I am certain of who you are, Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you that we can walk out in faith. We don't have to be afraid of the unknown because, Jesus, you know who you are. And we see you walking confidently in our storms in miraculous power. And you invite us to do the same. So, God, would you help us to walk in our situations and our storms in faith? And, God, would you help us to walk into other people's storms and other people's circumstances and other people's situations in faith and offer encouragement and be an influence to people who are struggling, who might not know you. God, use us this week to influence people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have an awesome week influencing people.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.